This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
It is one of the biggest things people are talking about in Oregon, so we're giving it a lot of coverage. That's the issue of Measure 110 and its impact on Oregon. And of course, as you've heard in recent days, there was a meeting on Monday with lawmakers and a number of folks who testified and shared their thoughts on the issue. One of the people that was there is on with us now, Christine Drazen, former Republican candidate for governor, and her organization now is called A New Direction. Christine, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So talk about Monday's meeting and your overall thoughts watching it take place.
Well, we had our first opportunity as citizens in our state to come and speak to the new joint legislative committee that's been tasked with looking at drug use and public safety in our state. And it was a lot of invited testimony, which means that legislators who are in control of that committee wanted to hear from a particular perspective, and they kind of wanted to build the public record in support of what they're hoping to do with that measure. And there was, about the last half hour was dedicated to members of the public to be able to come and share their thoughts on addiction in their communities. And for my part, on behalf of A New Direction, I came before the committee to make a recommendation that they fully repeal Measure 110, because as a measure, it embedded into our state a pro-drug approach that I think is harmful long-term to the people in our state and has increased addiction and overdose deaths dramatically, and has certainly impacted our teens more than any other group. Young adults have been impacted at the highest rates for overdoses. And I think we need to start over. The thing that we heard from a lot of folks, in addition to my testimony, was a commitment to continuing treatment and to, you know, not accepting this idea that we only get treatment money if we're stuck with Measure 110. So let's commit to ensuring that people get the help that they so desperately need. And also let's recognize that the full decriminalization of hard drugs, it has been an abysmal failure that's harmed our state, and the folks living here are really struggling because of it.
How much time did you get for your comments?
2 minutes.
And
everybody was given 2 minutes.
And so a brief comment period there. How split were the people making the comments? Did the perspectives vary much?
You know, the invited testimony didn't have a lot of variety in it. But I can say that in the public testimony, you had a full range of perspectives. There was someone there that was a firefighter that came and said, you know, that the calls that they have been responding to at their fire station have just exponentially grown in response to overdoses. And he really took his time to describe what it was like to sit with someone who had just overdosed and how to bring them back. And it, you know, a lot of the testimony was so heartfelt and so striking. So many people have had personal experiences with addiction in their own lives and in their families. This is personal stuff. And the public testimony really acknowledged the human side of things. Some folks came forward and said, I support repeal, of course. And they all kind of had their various reasons for doing that. But I think what was really clear in that brief amount of time was that this affects all of us. And we all have a stake in legislators fixing this issue.
Now, we've talked earlier this week with State Senator David Brock Smith and Representative Christine Goodwin about the meeting as well. I understand it was a fairly lengthy meeting overall.
It was. They started their, you know, public testimony portion, I think, at around 11 in the morning and wrapped it up by 1. And so, you know, that portion of the meeting was a lot of that continued to be invited testimony, but they dedicated quite a bit of time to these discussions. We need to hear more and more and more from the public on these issues. I hope that they dedicate multiple upcoming meetings to hearing from the public before they finalize their decision. My concern is that we can't just trust that they are going to hear Oregonians and respond to Oregonians' concerns on this. And we need to hold them accountable. We need to show up, and we need to express our concerns with this. There's a huge likelihood that what they're going to do is move drug use off of our streets and just into our shelters and into, you know, behind closed doors, but that they won't actually fix the addiction crisis. And it's critical right now that we recognize that people are dying, and we can't be neutral on drug use. We need to let people know that there's no such thing as recreational drug use in the era of fentanyl. It kills people. And it's slid into all of these drugs that are out there now, and people don't always realize that what they're actually taking is an overdose level amount of fentanyl. And so, you know, we need to repeal 110, but it's unlikely that folks in Salem are going to make the decision to do that. It's more likely that they'll kind of nip around the edges a little bit on this measure. But I believe really strongly that we need a full repeal with full funding for treatment providers.
Now, at the conclusion of the meeting, what was their plan going forward?
I believe that they are going to have additional meetings, at least one or two additional meetings coming up. And then my understanding from the members that are on that committee, that they hope to have a legislative concept that will come before legislators in the short session in February. And so that'll be another opportunity for Oregonians to engage. There'll be some more public process in the short session. And I'd encourage Oregonians to engage in that process as well. But the time is now. Communicate with the members of that committee. You can send emails to them through our website at A New Direction. You can communicate with them through just directly through the OLIS, which is the legislature's platform to be able to engage in the legislative process. And you can send emails directly to members of the committee there. But I would encourage Oregonians, now's the time to engage. You know, they haven't set in stone exactly what they're going to do. I hope that with public pressure that they'll go further than it sounds like they are right now. We really do need some form of a return to accountability if we want to see change. And that means that we need to recognize that full decriminalization of all hard drugs was the wrong decision. And we have specialty courts. We have diversion for people that are facing addiction and struggles, and we need to get them the help that they need.
Some of our local lawmakers that we've talked to are also calling for a repeal of the measure. But how often does a legislative body repeal a ballot measure that's been approved by the voters?
It happens, actually, you know, when I was there in the 2019 legislative session, you know, they did a workaround that effectively repealed the will of Oregon voters when it comes to sentencing requirements. And it does absolutely happen. And in this case, if they're concerned that a full repeal within the legislative body is not something they're comfortable doing, then the legislative body can send out a ballot measure to repeal directly to Oregon voters and let them choose. And whatever they do, they absolutely can send out any reforms or any repeals directly to voters, and they can vote on it in the upcoming November election. That's a very legitimate approach to this challenge. But time is of the essence. Every single day, people are dying on the streets. Every single day, more teenagers are dying. Our teenagers are dying at a faster rate than any other state in the nation from overdoses. We're talking up 666% in 2 years alone. We can't afford to drag our feet on this. They need to act, and they need to act quickly.
As I look at the calendar, if there is a repeal done by the legislature, if that did take place, there would be some kind of turnaround time to repeal it. I'm not sure how that would be set up. If it goes to the voters, we're talking 2024, which means then you have one more year under the current system.
They could send it out in May. They could send it out in a special election. It's really up to them. They have options where there's lots of opportunities. They don't have to wait until the November election. November election will have the largest turnout of Oregon voters as compared to a primary election, but they could send it out in May. They absolutely have to act, and they need to act quickly.
Going to take a break more with Christine Drazen. When we come back, they interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1, Umpqua Valley Live. Looking at arts, entertainment, and community events, that's at 4 o'clock. On Mondays, Inside Douglas County, we have Sutherland High School's Assistant Principal, Sean Radford, recently named Oregon Assistant Principal of the Year. He'll be on the program. Christine Drazen from A New Direction, former Republican candidate for governor, on now talking about the issue of Measure 110. We're just going over some of the options that could take place. Do you see, as maybe from the meeting or just in other work that you've been doing on this issue, do you see this crossing party lines, crossing the aisle very much, or does it seem to be one party's on one side and one party's on the other?
You know, everyday Oregonians absolutely want to see this measure repealed. And there's been polling done and all kinds of public outreach that has shown that folks living in communities across our state see ballot measure 110 and it is an abysmal failure. And they want, now that they better understand that that this measure itself manipulated them, they thought they were getting treatment, but what they got was drug overdoses and drug decriminalization. You know, they want a do-over. So I think that part of it is very, very, very bipartisan. When you talk about people that are in elected office, it is not as bipartisan. You really don't see folks in the majority party right now that are anxious to resolve this issue with a repeal. I hope that they change their minds. I hope they listen to Oregonians and really clean the slate on this thing and craft something that's workable for our state. But we need them to be responsive. But right now, it does feel like it's a little bit partisan when it comes to the legislative response.
Do you feel
even if you just look at? No, go ahead.
Well, do you feel like the polling may sway some of maybe at least moderate Democrats more in the direction you're calling for?
Well, I hope so. You know, I really do hope that they reconsider, that they take a look at all the information out there from Oregonians, and certainly the submitted comments from Oregonians supported a more aggressive response to this, no half measures, you know, that they really do need to address this issue. And so I'm hopeful that they do that, but at the very least, they need to recognize that there's a role for law enforcement when it comes to community safety. We have to balance interests. Measure 110 didn't allow us to do that. We need to provide more beds for people that are really facing a mental and behavioral health crisis. We need to get people into treatment faster. The points of access need to be easier. And also, we need to set an expectation that Oregon's goal as a state is to get people sober and clean and in long-term recovery. That's not even a part of our definition. Recovery in Oregon is all about, you know, an individual choice and how they define meaning in their own lives. Our own state definitions don't assume that the work we're doing with all of this money, millions and millions of dollars, is going to be spent to get people clean and sober long term. And that needs to change. So the foundational aspects of how we're approaching drug use in Oregon right now are so broken. We just need to clean the slate, and we need to recognize that we need to help people right now. And also, without accountability, they won't be able to change their hopeless state of mind and achieve change. We need to provide that accountability so that they can change their lives. Addiction is controlling. It is, you know, it supplants everything else in their lives. It's the nature of addiction. We need to interrupt that, and we need to interrupt it in a way that's effective at helping people recognize that there is hope. They can get clean and sober. And we're going to put them into programs and give them access to allow that to happen.
You mentioned the law enforcement aspect. We've been told that a number of law enforcement professionals have chosen to exit their career or retire early or whatever over their frustration with Measure 110.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing. And, you know, for the other thing is, I recently did a roundtable on this issue up in Portland, and we had, you know, the head of the Portland police up there talking with us in that roundtable setting. And they're not anxious to get back in and need to interact with people that are facing, you know, a crisis because drugs has prevented them from recognizing that, you know, they aren't making good choices for themselves. But without any presence for law enforcement, community members are left out in the cold. They are, we heard from the folks in the Lentz community. I don't know if you know where that's at up in Portland. They say they can't leave their homes because they don't feel safe in their own neighborhoods walking around. They feel like they're prisoners in their own homes because police are present, but they're not intervening. And so we've got to fix this. It's gotten out of control. And there is a balance point where police have support from the people that are there to intervene and help people get into treatment. But when we're talking about criminal activities, we need a police presence there. And we can't turn a blind eye to property crimes. We can't turn a blind eye to harassment and the communities that feel unsafe.
And for those property crimes, which sometimes involve businesses, talk about the impact you feel it's had on Oregon's business community and some folks not being sure they want to stay here.
Yeah, you know, there was a very recent report that showed that if you just look at our urban core up in Portland, just look at retail presence in our largest city. In the last 2 years, retail presence has gone down 15%. And that's from the lows of COVID. That was in the throes of COVID when everything was just tanking in that community. It's continued to decline. And we see, you know, in communities across our state that business owners will look out their window and they'll see that somebody has made their way to sleeping on their stoop or is blocking customers from getting into their business, and they're out in their sidewalk and people are actively doing drugs in public spaces. And it's creating an inhospitable environment for people to use not just our parks, and those have long since been overrun in many communities, but also our sidewalks and our businesses. So this is no longer an environment that any of us recognize. And we need to get back to a place where we say there's some common sense here, and that common sense dictates that people that are struggling, that we don't ignore it. There's a lack of dignity. There's a lack of compassion if you just ignore it and let them go on their way. But you intervene. You provide accountability. You get them help. And then along with that, you're balancing out the needs of your community members and your business owners to actually be able to live their lives as well and provide the services that they need to out into the community, as well as to just, you know, continue to live their lives in the folks that are really overrun with some of these drug offenses and drug crimes.
Oregon was the first state to decriminalize to this level. Have you seen other states follow Oregon at all on this?
No, not so far. I mean, really, it really was national interests on the East Coast that looked at Oregon and said they're going to make an experiment out of us. They treated us like a petri dish, and they just dumped in scads and scads of money, and without any concern whatsoever for how it would impact our state, misled Oregon voters and got Measure 110 passed. Now, that has been unfair to all of us, but, you know, thankfully no other states in the nation have jumped on that bandwagon yet and chosen to decriminalize at a statewide level. We were 50th in the nation for access to treatment, for addiction treatment at the time that thing passed. I mean, we were in no shape. We had no business decriminalizing drugs when we had no access. We had such limited access for people to get in and get the help that they needed. And it's harmed our state long term. And, you know, those were bad actors that didn't even live here, weren't even a part of our community, and, you know, really just treated us like lab rats. And we deserve better. And we need our policymakers to get in there and recognize that and fix this. And if they want to refer it out to voters, do that. But they can't sit back and act like their hands are tied because Oregon voters were manipulated by out-of-state interests.
As Oregon residents look towards the future, you mentioned the statistics involving young people.
Yeah, I mean, that really is the crisis that we're facing right now. 74% of all Oregonians are concerned about hard drugs in our K-12 schools, and they should be. Measure 110 treated kids the same as adults, which means that if a kid has possession of crack or heroin or cocaine or fentanyl, whatever it might be, There's no consequence to that. Police will not confiscate those drugs. They will not be diverted into a treatment program. They just turn a blind eye to our kids. And that has led to the biggest increase in drug overdoses in our teen populations than anywhere else in the nation. We have seen 73 deaths in 2021 alone among our kids.
Christine Drazen, what's the website for A New Direction?
It is and-or.org, A New Direction, Oregon. Thanks for having me today.
All right, Christine Drazen on Inside Douglas County, 1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.